It's very enjoyable to worship again with the believers here at the Peak. I always look forward to coming here, even though I about bowed out because we had company yesterday and today. And they can worship at McDowell without me. It was sort of tempting because I wanted to come here, and it's such a blessing to meet with believers. And we meet you in Jesus' name that that has a good plan for your life, and He gives us all that we need to be strengthened and encouraged and satisfied in Him. He gives us everything we need to be more than conquerors through Him. And that sounds pretty adequate, very adequate, more than adequate, actually. So what a tremendous blessing. And I hope this morning the message is very encouraging to each one here. That's what it's intended to be, because in this day and age where Christendom in general is walking down a path that isn't always upward, sometimes it's a challenge to look at that situation and see what should I do and how should I live. And so we want to think about that. Well, you know, character is built, and so is all the time, but it's really revealed when a person is tested or when they're confronted. Do you ever think about that? And that's a bad sometimes, because that's generally when I tend to flub up. You know, you test it, or you know, you're confronted, and things can get a little bit less than desirable. And but that's when the real character's shown. And you know, we might be tested a little bit more now than we think. I wonder about that. I think in my life I am. But the Bible is full of encouraging words that we want to look at. Isaiah 43, 1b to 3a says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." And that's a beautiful passage. That was given to the Israelites about 700 years ago, if I understand correctly. But it's for you today. That's an encouraging word for today, because you know what? I don't know if you're walking through the waters, but we do walk through some tough waters. And I don't know if you've been burned spiritually, but sometimes we are burned. And he said, you don't need to be burned up. You might be torched a little bit. A living sacrifice is torched in a little bit. Well, I hope you enjoy that. But he said, look, that's not going to overflow you, because I'm going to be with you. You can always rest assured God is with his people. So for an Old Testament story that is very familiar, but we're trying to make it relevant to today a little, let's go to Daniel 3, verses 1 and 2, 7, and 11 and 12. Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 70 cubits, and his breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he said in the plain of Dura, in the prince of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now let's jump down. Now that's what is going on at this occasion. That's the problem. Verse 7. And you know, he called the people and he said, at the time of the band starts playing, you know what the bands do to you? Just bow, you know. And there he said, verse 7, "Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up." Now, I'm going to stop there just a little bit. It's a little different setting over there, I understand, because in the plains of Dura, it's a nice flat country. We enjoy nice hills, rolling hills. So, you know, if you'd set up an image that was, 9 feet wide, 90 feet tall, I have never seen a sailor that tall and skinny. I've seen plenty of that tall, but not that skinny. Because we wouldn't do that, because we have fair breezes around here, don't we? Probably knock it over fairly quickly. But it was a flat place, and they could see that. Now, this image of gold, this was impressive. 90 feet high, gold. Wow. I can't remember last time I even saw a speck of gold. But anyhow, this is an image full of gold. I just can't fathom a thing shining in the sunlight. That would be an impressive sight. You know, I might have sat there and just, wow, I've been wowed by that thing. You know, and, you know. So it's pretty impressive to get all these royal dignities. And then you get royal dignities, but then it sounded like a fair amount of people were there too, you know. That makes the peer pressure a little higher. Probably a few more in here this morning. In fact, I highly suspect it was thousands upon thousands of people. Well, I don't know how you feel, but that would be rather, if you think you have a little peer pressure when two or three are bowing, you know, how about this? Okay, let's jump down then to verses 11 and 12. And it said, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. And there were certain Jews within that thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They have not served thy gods, nor worshipped the golden image which thou set up at this time, verse 7 says. I don't know what happened last week, what's going to happen tomorrow, but it's going to be at this time, okay? It's God's design time. And then he said, you know what? You know, if you don't bow, you get the burn. And I hope you haven't ever had a bad burn, but I have. And I tell you, burning is not a pleasant experience. And it was just a small spot. I did something really stupid. Most every burns end up from something stupid. You know, but anyhow, I acknowledge my lack of wisdom. And so I put a match inside of to check out whether a gas furnace was running. And, you know, of course, the gas was in there, poof, and blew out, burned a hole in my shirt, and about halfway through me, but it was just through the skin. And I didn't hurt for days, brethren. I hurt for months. I'll tell you, a burn is bad news. Now, that's fairly intimidating, I would say. To say, you know, you get the burn. And, you know, because a lot of times our peer pressure, you know, they're not threatening us with burning. They don't even threaten us with jail. I mean, and so here they are, thousands of people just bowing down. Thousands. That's more peer pressure than we have in general. Because we have, if you look around, there's dozens, hundreds of people standing. Okay? And yet here they are just bowing down. And to this idol. Now, you got to remember, this wasn't the first test for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Yeah, a little bit before there, they were tempted to eat some good meat. They were tempted. And most people, I figure most Jews probably would have said, finally, I get what I want. You know? Oh, man, just a nice steak meal, no problem here. But whatever it was with their conviction, it crossed that line. There's no question. They stood on the little thing. I want to remind you, you'll never stand for the big test if you don't stand for the little ones. And we're having little ones. We're having little ones. So they, you know, and so idols, and idols was just a common thing in Babylon. They didn't worship God. The common man had idols. Person had idols. There was idols all over the place. So this was a big idol, okay? But there was idols all over the place. Is there any idols in America? Is there any idols in America? You can be responsive. It's yes or no. They're all around, right? They're all around. Could you name a few? Could you name a few? mean, look at your neighbors. Come on. What? Huh? Yes, a good one. Talked about that in Sunday school lesson, isn't it? Yeah, good one. Very good. Sports. Good. Another one. Yes. Sports crave. How they fill stadiums with 60, 80,000 people? It's not for an evangelistical sermon. You know? It's sports crazy. Yes, more. Huh? What?
Cell phones.
Did I hear correctly? Cell phones. Yes. Yes. That's very, very true. Any more?
Entertainment.
Yes. Good. More?
Self.
Self? Yes. Good. Great. Somebody else said one. Huh?
Food.
That's just for you men, okay? We do enjoy food, you know. If you don't eat, you won't, can't live. So, yeah, but you're right. Too many times. Anything else? Is there clothes? Could that be an idol? Could our cars be an idol? Still, yes. Could ungodly music be an idol? Could pleasure, carnal pleasures, be an idol? Are we still nodding yes? A few of you. Well, I'm just telling you. Just want to let you know, there's plenty of idols in America, and they might be slipping into church. I'm not saying you are, but I just want us to beware. We live in an extremely adulterous nation. And there might not be a shrine. You wish it was isolated to a little, you know, monkey on a whatever, you know, or sport. Yeah. But it is. It's there. It's all over. It's the hankering of the heart. Anything that keeps a person from following Jesus inevitably is an idol. Does that make sense? Yeah, we struggle with that. There's all kinds of things beckoning. A lot of these things, you need a little money, right? You need a little food. You need a nice house. You need a vehicle. But all these is taken as a longing and a desire for me can easily become an idol. Can easily become an idol. The title of the message is Godly Courage. Godly courage. Because I know I need a wake-up call. I live in America, and I'm tempted just like all of y'all are. And you know what? It's there. It's out there. Verse 13 to 16. And Shadrach, in his rage and a fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto him, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you do not serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear these, the sound of clarinet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast into the same fire, to the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. Let us always remember that you will not stand for something that is not a strong conviction. So start thinking in your mind, what is your strong convictions? I will not do this. You better write them down. Because if they didn't have a strong conviction, let me tell you, they would have bowed. So we got to be into the word and think, oh, you know, if they would do something like that, you know, I tell you, if they say to renounce my faith, I'm going to stand for that. Not if you gave in yesterday, you won't. You won't. In other words, we got to be people that are standing for the little things because of a heart for the Word of God, to follow Jesus, and a strong desire to be faithful to Him. And in doing that, you know what? You're going to have some convictions. I'm not going to walk down this path. I'm not going to go down that direction. I'm not going to do that. You're making those little stands. You know what? It builds strength in your heart and life. It gives you a strength that's admirable before God, and it's admirable for other people. But so much the time is, you know what? Those thousands, all the people around me are doing that. That's sure what they could have said. Yeah. They could have had a lot of excuses, and they didn't give in to them. And so they had convictions. And I want to tell you, friends, any man or woman today that's going to stand the test of time has better have some good, strong, biblical convictions. And you will stand up and out. You will. You'll stand up and out in normal Christendom. Now, hopefully not in our own groups. But you might. You might. Just depends. You know, they had a lot of temptations. But I tell you, the temptation to bow was very strong for them, and it's very strong for us. I'll just say it the way it's very strong for us. But they didn't look for excuses. It doesn't take any courage to go along with the tide. Okay? You know, we face fiery furnaces sometimes. I don't know if you've ever thought, well, what are they going to think of me if I stand? You see, when you make a stand, the fiery furnace is next, okay? And people will criticize you, and that's pretty intimidating. People, so there's still furnaces around. The furnace of the trials and criticisms that we get. The furnace of fear of what people will think. The furnace of loneliness. I'm all by myself. Elijah was there. It's not true. It's what the devil tempts you to think. Let me tell you, friends, doing what's right before God is not a lonely walk. It's a blessed walk. It's a blessed walk. We can walk therein. Let's be strengthened therein. The furnace of discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? Oh, the devil wants us to be discouraged. Yes, he tempts us to be that way. We don't have to give in to these fire, the thought of the fiery furnace. You know, you either stand up or you lose your spiritual strength. Because that's exactly what would happen to these men if they would have gave in. They'd have lost their spiritual strength. So we're tempted to think, well, if I stand, they'll think I'm weird. And how could I witness being this strange? You know, because, well, you know, people don't want to come to the Lord to be the same as they were. We don't either. They come to the Lord to be better spiritually than they were. No wonder Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And I praise God we can experience that. Yes, those said, look, they said, we don't even want a second chance. You know, when you're tempted, and you know, and the devil says, you know what, you can give in next time. In fact, a lot of times, if you don't get you in one, he comes around the back door in another way. You notice that? Hope it don't happen to you. It does to me. Wow, I tell you, they cared solely about pleasing God. Their sole intentions was to please God. People with godly courage, that's what they care about, is pleasing God. And irregardless how some people may be doing, irregardless, they want to please God at any cost. They don't care about their reputation. They care about their connection to God. Amen? That's everything for them. They care about, am I pleasing God? That brings conviction. So what keeps me from standing? Peer pressure. pride, whatever. You know, I read one time when James Colvert went out as a missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands. I don't know if you've ever been around cannibals or not. It wouldn't be the most pleasant thing. And the captain of the ship sought to turn them back. He said, "You'll lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among those savages." You know what he cried back? "We died before we come here." Every person that's following Jesus bears the cross of Jesus, and they die to their own lust and passion, evil passions. And they die before you get there. You know what? That makes temptations way less strong if you died before you got there. If you're alive and that passion and desire and that desire to look good and fit in overrides. It's another opportunity to gain convictions. Well, the way the world's going, God only knows what's ahead. But we have so many idols around us, and we really a lot of times don't discuss this issue, and that's why I'm so glad y'all shared. Y'all shared a lot of good ones. There's a few more too, by the way. But you did good. But we're full of a nation of idolatry. It's rampant. And a lot of times those mentalities, see, it's a mentality. It's what you want tomorrow. It's your driving passion next week shows that. You know, is it for the Lord? Praise God, it can and should be. But if this nation keeps going down a heathen road, I highly suspect that you youngsters are going to have an opportunity to go to jail. You better get ready. I'm telling you, your choices you're making today are going to determine whether you'll stand. I wouldn't be at all shocked if some of you here get an opportunity to die for your faith. Now, that might shock you, but I'm telling you, you better think about it. The way this nation is going and the way things are happening in the powers that be, I'm telling you, to be a standout Anabaptist Christian is not popular. And I tell you, there's starting more and more things are going down that are going to make us stand out. Our thought for the day was hate the gray. Or something like that. Don't become with the gray, right? Go for the light. That's what we're talking about. No wonder it says in Luke 12, verse 4 and 5. "And I say unto my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do." Did you hear that? Don't fear those that just kill the body, but can't affect you spiritually. Because you're determined. You're going to be like Shadrach, Meshach. You're determined to stand at all costs. Eternity is determined whether you stand or not. We've got to remember the decisions we make that look small, but we're giving in, determine our destiny. We got to remember that. Yes, but I want to go on. "But I will forewarn you whom you should fear and reverence and follow. Fear him that after he hath killed, hath both power to cast into hell." Yea, I say, fear him. Every good believer reverences God and Jesus. And that's all consuming to their life. They have convictions that really, really make a difference. So some more words for encouragement. Revelation 2, verse 10. "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast you into prison." You ready? You ready? Get ready, he's saying. Because if you're ready for that, you're going to be caring about the little things tomorrow. Okay? Get ready. Yes. They'll cast you into prison. and that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, but be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Everything depends on the end of the journey. But how you respond at the end of the journey is being determined today. Always remember that. Today makes a huge difference. Courage, not something is done, try. Well, I know I should probably do that, or I know the preachers would get on me if I would do that. No. They're standing because they have convictions on the Word of God. They're standing because they wouldn't want anything to break their fellowship with Jesus. They care about following Him. They don't look at the pain or the turmoil or the loneliness or the discouragement of standing. They focus on pleasing Jesus and doing what is right. Because it's so easy in this time that we live in to think about my feelings and how I'm going to look today. And we should be saying, how does Jesus look on my life? How would Jesus want me to stand? What a blessing we can do that together as a brotherhood. Then, now verse 19 shows the reaction of a carnal man, where it says, and then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of the vintage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat these furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And I don't understand what the thought is there, because it's a strange thing. Fire would have burned them up 1 times hotter. Just the way it is. I mean, you know, can you imagine being there? And this wasn't some little campfire, by the way. I get the idea of this where they were walking around in the fire. This was some mega furnace. And so you know what happens. Yeah. He decided his fury to make it a lot worse. That fire didn't hold a candle, the hell fire there. You know that? You know, I think men, us as mankind, we don't like the fiery furnace of trial and discouragement that comes. But let me tell you, they was willing to go stand for Jesus to because they knew not to would be much worse. Yes, they cared about doing what's right. Verses 20 to 25 says, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king commanded was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, and the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and began to go. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fire, burning fiery furnace. The Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astounded and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I praise God that sometimes, even though we're bound by certain things, we are freed in the fire. Because we're going to be tested by fire. Bible says, and we're freed by the fire when we're standing for the Lord, when we're standing for Jesus. Yes. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. That's amazing. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I tell you, these people were bound, and Satan wants to bind you. But I praise God that we can be free from that bondage. And he said, you know why? When you're in the fire and you're willing to be stand up for Jesus and you're in a fire of testing and trials and stuff, Jesus undergirds you. That's when Jesus comes. Now, he comes to convict us when we're given in, but here he comes to undergird us. Yes, we have the same power as it says, it talks about it. I'm going to read a few verses in Ephesians 1, verses 18 to 20, where it says, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of the power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, in which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. You have at your disposal to stand in the fire, in testing, and against temptation, the same power that Jesus had when he rose from the dead. Now, friends, that's no halfway business here. When I read that, it thrilled me to realize that you and I have that very same resurrection power that Jesus had when he burst from the grave and come forth triumphant over hell, death, hell, and sin, and everything. Yes. What an amazing to think that we have that. And to realize that the fire didn't even singe them. They come through it and they didn't have a whiff of sin on them. They didn't have a whiff of compromise. Wow, that's amazing. Go in there and I singe cows about four or five times a year. And I tell you, they smell like they've been singed because they was in the fire. Even if it was just a small portion of them, they do. You've probably been singed before. Well, I praise God. You can go through testings and not even smell a bit of the devil, of sin, of Satan, of compromise, of lukewarmness, of gray. You can do that. The angel of the Lord encampeth about around them that fear him and delivers them. I tell you, that's for us today, such a beautiful thing to realize that they were loosed in the fire. I really think probably we're closer to the fire than we realize. You might be in fire right now of testing, of discouragement. You know, maybe you've made a stand. Maybe you did something unwise. But I tell you, there's true freedom in obeying and standing for the Lord. Romans 6 says some very liberating words. Romans 6, verse 16 to 18 says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves service to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or to obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. You get the picture. When they give in, if they had to give in, they'd have been a servant to sin. And I don't know if I think about that when I'm tempted to give in and say, you, Claire, you're going to be a bondage to that sin. You see that can happen. People love sports. They just live for sports. And people that love money, they just love money. They'll miss church for money. What would God think? What would God think? They would lose church. You know, and they get busy and they don't read God's word on a daily basis. What's it saying? These are little places you can stand to strengthen yourself. Yeah. Yeah. See, if we're going to be free, we can't be in bondage to these other things. If we want to be free in Christ Jesus, we can't be in bondage to these things. Yep, bondage to social media. Somebody mentioned that. The phone. And now I hear people spending, is it accurate to say hours a day? They're not spending that much time in their Bible. I'm talking about what they're using on the social media. Because they want to keep up. They need to keep up. Friends, you want to keep up. Keep up with Jesus. Follow him. What would happen in Christendom, and Anabaptist Christendom, may I add, if the passion for Jesus was seven times hotter than the desire to keep up with their friends that they don't need to worry about? What would happen? I'm telling you, it'd be revolutionary. Think about it. Think about it. What would happen if my passion for Jesus would be way more than my desire for social media? I'm telling you, friends, we're in the fire. We're in the fire. And what are we going to do? Well, I'm telling you, God has a deliverance. Just around the corner, we don't know when. I'd like to read a few verses from Revelation. Because we want to win all these battles, and this might be sooner than we think, especially if we're willing to make it practical in our lives. Revelation 13, 14 to 18. Revelation 13. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth, by whose signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Do you get the parallel? They're going to suffer for standing. In other words, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. That's a guarantee in the Bible. But he said, you know what? This is going to happen. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on the right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of, or the who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate, this is the New King James, the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. A parallel to this is just the next chapter, chapter 14, verses 9 to 12, where it says, then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall not also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day and night who worships the mark of the beast and his image, and who receives the mark of his name. I don't know what all that means, and you probably don't either, because this figuring out everything, but I do know there's going to come a time when it says, and it looks like it might be closer than we think, that if you don't have something in your hand or your forehead, you're not going to fare too well as far as buying and selling. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but most of us have chips on our credit cards, right? Do you know that? I don't know how this is all going to work out, but I think the devil is desensitizing us on the journey. Could it be? I just ask, could it be? I want us to be awake. Don't live in fear, but be willing to stand, okay? That's what this is all about. And he said, you know what? And of course, you know, and I just read up again, there's already in this wide wicked world, there's chips in the hands of children. Chips in the hands of adults, literally, already. It's already happening, okay? Does that bother you? It ought to. It ought to, because we're coming down to the last chapters. The very last chapter. We always say it's the end times. I want to tell you, friends, we're getting real close. We better be awake, okay? Hope this isn't a wake-up call. Hope you already knew it. But if you didn't know it, you need to wake up spiritually. Because there could be a time they're going to say, look, you know what? And they say, and I don't know if it's true or not, maybe because they say, it, you know, the beast's going to affect your mentality. So you're going to have an earthly mentality, which that's definitely already happening. And, you know, you're going to want more. The hand could figure out, you know, the greed of man, and that's already happening. Some people say the mark of the beast is already happening. I don't know. I'm not going to say that. But I do think the devil is desensitizing us to the journey, on the journey. How are you deceived? It said they're going to be deceived. And I want to tell you, Jesus don't want you deceived. But if you give in, if we give in as a body to everything that comes down the tube, that don't affect me spiritually. Be careful. The American way does affect us spiritually. It does affect us spiritually. And so when they come around, I want to encourage you, if ever they come out and they want to put a chip in your body, you better be ready to say no with conviction. Would you sooner starve and go to heaven? Or do what the beast wants you to do and live with him in hell forever? That's what it plainly says. It plainly says that. We don't need to have any major translations here. What concerns me is, I think the devil has played a big one on us. You know, with the smartphone coming in, so we get weakened spiritually. Oh, we still go to church some. But, you know, there is temptations. Materialism is a temptation. In Anabaptist Christendom, materialism is a temptation. Yeah. To be popular and to be well-known and liked is very much a temptation. Casualness and lukewarmness is a huge temptation. And it shows. You know, it shows. You know, like the lack of desire of worshiping on a regular basis is waning. It's waning. You know, people don't just love to go to church like people do when they're on fire for the Lord. It's waning. It shows desire to read the Word of God. It's waning because there's other things encroaching. The desire to dress reverently for worship is waning. Casual dress is on the ups. It's waning. They're all symptom of casualness of heart and lukewarmness. You have opportunity to stand. There's going to be a group that's going to stand. And you can enter in. It's for everyone. Don't be tempted that these are little things. Because these are real temptations to give in. We want to fit in. We don't want to say this, but we like to fit in with certain groups. Which group is it going to be? It's going to make all the difference in eternity. We can stand. We can stand. The temptations are there. There's going to be a group that says, look, I'm going to claim these promises. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment and punishment, but chiefly them that walk after flesh and lust and uncleanness and despise government. You know, he said, look, I'm going to deliver you. And I'm going to look to God. I'm going to be tenacious about following the Lord. Courage. Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, and ye that hope in the Lord. There's going to be one bracket that walks the streets of gold and lives with their Jesus. And you know what it is? It's the overcomers. It's the overcomers. And you know what? Praise God. If you open up your spiritual eyes and you see the battle for what it is, and not that we see everything, but God help us, we can see a few things, can't we? And we're saying, I'm going to overcome. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to follow. I'm going to stand. God bless you in doing it.